Okay, welcome to the show. Pinpoint Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on your Wednesday night broadcast here on republicbroadcasting.org. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage. You can call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. You can mail that in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I want to introduce our Wednesday night guest, Lutheran pastor Mark Dankoff. Mark, I've got a little fundraising to do before we get into content. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Hey, doing fine, and go get the fundraising done, and then we're ready to go.
Well, I want to do a special pledge. Mike, if you would text me a number, what kind of dollar amount do we need by the end of this week to get right?
We're talking about me or RBN?
No, Mike. Yeah, well, we're talking about RBN. What kind of money does RBN need between now and Friday? Give me a dollar amount just to get right.
$10 million. $10 million.
Okay, so we need another $2,000 between now and Friday. So I started last night. Anybody that called in, I asked, what have you contributed or what are you going to contribute? I contributed $40 on Monday. And I want all of the hosts to participate as well. If we have a host out there listening, maybe you can call in rando and tell us what you're contributing. So
I actually saw a figure from somebody at RBN. I think the actual realistic figure is something like $15,000 a month, maybe.
Yeah, I mean that's reasonable, to run a studio and pay people salaries and bills and all of that. So, between now and Friday, really we need $2,000. So, let's step up to the plate and let's get this fundraiser going. We got great content. Last night we had the Caped Crusader, political scientist, you know the man, Dr. Patrick Slattery, and then tonight Lutheran pastor. Everybody is at
the Caped Crusader.
Yes, that all started, let me tell you, that all started when, because Patrick brought me up in radio, like I was way, on the going here and there, and he sort of calmed me down and taught me how to analyze politics and do radio. And so I always tell him, I'm like, he's the Batman to my Robin. And so it kind of took off. So, yeah, now whenever I introduce him on the shows, we do the Batman theme and we do this whole bit.
Yeah, that's great. The traditional Batman and Robin. I understand that Marvel Comics is trying to make the contemporary versions of those guys queer, but I know that that's not your game or Patrick's, so we will emphasize the traditional Batman and Robin.
The trad bat. That's trad
right.
Batman.
The trad bat, that's it.
Yeah, the Adam West, back in the day,
yes,
where Batman and Robin were going out and like getting chicks like after they fought crime and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Just as long as we're clear, that's right.
And so, but no, I'm glad you made that. I'm glad you brought that up, and we made that differentiation. You gotta be specific these days. But
yeah, DC Comics and Marvel Comics are turning Batman and Robin into a couple of demonic perverts, unfortunately. But again, we'll go back to the old Batman, the traditional Batman and Robin, and you and Slattery definitely fit the bill in that regard.
Well, there's been subversion in comics since they started. But it really hasn't been as marked as out there as it has in the last couple of years. Excuse me. Got all choked up over that, all the gayness there that we were talking about. But
yeah.
Well, so yeah, hopefully we can get some good contributions between now and Friday. Everybody, maybe skip a couple of dine outs. It costs a lot of money to eat out. If you take your family out, you could spend $50 or $60 at a moderate restaurant. Maybe you grill some hot dogs and hamburgers and, send that money over to RBN. So just wanted to push that. And I know you're a big contributor to the network, Mark, so we appreciate your work and your contribution. So, but tonight we want to get into some content. I've had some emailers ask me what's going on with the Christians in Afghanistan. And just to give you sort of where I'm at with this, on the one hand, of course, it's great that we're out of Afghanistan. I don't care about, military equipment that's left behind. That's just equipment that they're not going to be able to use to terrorize like other countries.
Although that $85 billion could have gone to RBN, but at any rate,
yeah, even $1 billion of that, just sell sell like the parts off of some of those tanks or whatever, or you know, just one of those Blackhawks. That would have set us in the black for a couple of decades. But no, I'm not. People, you know, you see this all over the news. People are getting all bent out of shape and on the conservative news. Well, oh, they left all this equipment behind. Well, hell's bells. Let's just redeploy and go back in Afghanistan. But no, and I don't care about that. And I certainly don't care about the degenerates that the Taliban is going to start bring it under control, like these Bachabazi guys that are into the little boys, that molest little boys. Yeah, I'm hoping a bunch of those guys get thrown off of roofs, quite honestly. But with the liberal democracy that the U.S. brought there, there was a silver lining in the cloud, and that was that Christian communities were able to flourish. And so I do worry about our Christian brothers and sisters there in Iran, and I've had people email me asking us to sort of cover this, and specifically asking for you, Mark. So you're stepping up to the plate once again, my friend. And we've got a couple of articles that we might highlight. I'm going to just mention these articles, and then I'm going to kick it to you for general comments, and you can kind of dictate where we go as you've looked over this prep. Two of the articles, one of them is very, very interesting. They sort of they compare Christianity in Iran to how Christianity could go in Afghanistan. So we know when the Shah took over, when the 79 Christians were persecuted, but then by the administration that we have now in Iran, Christians flourish and are actually treated very well, as they are in Syria. And so the question then became, well, could that happen in Afghanistan? Could there be a future for Christians to flourish in Afghanistan? And are they being persecuted and hunted down now? That's the questions for you, Mark, and I'm going to kick it over to you.
Well, in looking at this situation, I know that The Hill has an article out there that I put in my V-Contacta description for this show, and it paints a pretty dreadful picture of what it believes are the prospects for current and future persecution of Christians in a Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. But, you know, these kinds of media reports have to be seen in the light of the desire of many of the people putting the information out, be it Christians, the stories about Christian persecutions, feminist persecutions, persecutions of LGBTQ, and all of this other sort of thing. These stories are often circulated both by neoconservatives and by these neoliberal interventionist types that are always talking about responsibility to protect and human rights violations of any given government that the United States doesn't happen to like. So with whatever is happening on the ground there in Afghanistan, it seems to me that whether you're looking at Iran or Syria or Afghanistan, certainly when you look at Syria, the Christian situation there has been ill-served by the people that the United States has been supporting in that country to overthrow President Assad. Very clear that the 17 or the 2 million, what is it, 2 million Christians in Syria, if I'm remembering this correctly, were almost uniformly behind the Assad regime against these Sunni extremists that were being used by Saudi and by the United States and Israel in particular to overthrow the Assad regime. Now, in Iran, interestingly enough, there has been mixed press in regard to the issue of Christians in Iran. My reading of the situation is that the present Iranian government, actually, in contrast to what has been reported by many in the West, they are reasonably tolerant of Christian minorities in that country, especially the Armenian version of Christianity. I think where the present regime in Iran has had its feathers ruffled a little bit is when there are stories appearing in the Western media that criticize the persecution of this Christian pastor or that Christian cell group of one sort or another. When I analyze those stories and see that most of those stories are emanating from an element in the Christian community that has strong links to Israel and to Christian Zionism theologically, that may actually be the real story in terms of the very tense situation between that so-called branch of Christianity and the Iranian regime. But the more traditional Iranian or Christian groups that have existed in that country for a long time, especially the Armenian version, they seem to be on reasonably good terms with the regime and have basically been allowed, as near as I can tell, to go on about their business. The Armenians, for example, if you look at their Church of St. Stephanos up in northwestern Iran, that is the site of the Armenian Festival of St. Thaddeus every year. That has gone on every single summer since the end of the Pahlavi era without anyone skipping a beat. And the Armenian Christians that attend this major church in Tehran, and then, of course, the Van Cathedral down in the southern part of Iran in either Shiraz or Isfahan, I believe it's in Shiraz, they have reported no major difficulties with the regime at all in terms of their normal activities. Well, now, when we look at Afghanistan, had me read a story that was put out by someone who was interviewed by Christianity Today there in Carroll Stream, Illinois, near Wheaton. That was a very fascinating story because, according to that source, when you analyze Afghan Christianity, I'm remembering this correctly, the initial group that is mentioned are the Hazaras, and 50% of Afghan Christians, according to that article and according to that interviewer or interviewee, 50% of Afghan Christians are thought to be from the Hazara tribe in Afghanistan, which historically is a Shia group. And to the extent that you have 50% of Afghan Christians coming out of the Hazara racial and tribal tradition suggests what Franklin Lamb talks about in an article that he wrote quite some time ago for Mideast Report, which was discussing the similarities between a Christian understanding of the atonement via Calvary and what emerged in what we now understand to be Shia Islam as a result of the death of Hussein at Karbala in 680 AD. Within Shia Islam, there has always been a strong element of suffering in sacrificial death and atonement via what happened at Karbala that has a lot of the same overtones and themes as the Christian version of the substitutionary atonement that we as Christians subscribe to in terms of the events at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That may explain, and I think the person interviewed by Christianity Today seemed to be suggesting that has something to do with the fact that 50% of Afghan Christians are thought to be of Hazara origin, which in turn connects with Shia Islam historically. And then there are a couple of other groups that are mentioned there. The Tajiks, if I'm remembering what I read in your article correctly, Jeremy, from Christianity Today, I think the Tajiks represent about 30% of Afghan Christianity, and then the Pashtun represent the remaining 20%. So that gives you a total of 100%, 50%, 30%, and 20%, with the Hazaras standing at 50%. So when you look at this whole thing tribally, ethnically, as well as theologically, that's a fascinating analysis that appears in that Christianity Today interview with this gentleman whose name I don't remember. Then when you add to that what Franklin Lamb has explained in regard to the observances of Ashura, which Lamb has taken apart in the past, and as Franklin explains this whole business about Karbala and the suffering and death of Hussein, the martyrdom of Hussein, this really is quite interesting to compare the Christian New Testament and the different versions of the substitutionary atonement that Gustav Aulén covers in his book Christus Victor, which is well worth anyone's time in analyzing the emphases of these different major schools of thought in regard to the atoning work of Jesus Christ historically. And it's fascinating, once again, as Franklin Lamb explains it in that article, is at least in my show description on V. Kantaka. This would explain how someone, for example, in the Hazara tribe in Afghanistan, who was raised or exposed to Shia Islam, would find Christianity quite appealing on the basis of the strong similarities and themes with the Christian understanding of the substitutionary atonement of Christ in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So that's all a part of this picture. And the Hill, in this article that they published, written by someone who is a UN representative, the young lady, I can't recall her name at this point, but it's up there in my show description, seems to think that there's a very negative future, a very dangerous future ahead for Christians in Afghanistan. But both in the case of Iran, the interesting thing is that the Iranians, of course, speak a Persian dialect known as Farsi. The Afghanistan people speak predominantly a version of Persian that is called Dari, D-A-R-I. It's a different dialect of the Persian language. But in both cases, when you look at this thing politically, the Christian church in Iran, subsequent to the fall of the Pahlavi regime, seems actually to have done very well in what was thought to be a largely hostile environment, with the advent of the Islamic Republic of Iran taking over from the Pahlavi regime in 1979. Nonetheless, Christianity seems to have actually increased in terms of the numbers that are at least presented in the Western world on this subject. And with the exception of the Christian Zionist groups, which raises questions, again, about how many of the individuals in those groups might in fact be working for Israeli intelligence, at least on their own time, with the exception of some of the troubles that have arisen in those groups in Iran, the overall picture there hasn't been bad at all. And it may be that the situation with the Taliban is not as drastic as what the Hill is suggesting it's going to be. So we'll see.
Let's compare those two articles when we come back on the other side of the day.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we are back to the show, your Wednesday night broadcast in plain sight. Jeremy from Kentucky, Pastor Mark Dankoff, breaking it down and discussing the plight of Christians in Afghanistan and taking your donations. We need $2,000 between now and Friday, or this station could very well be gone, and you're not going to hear hard-hitting, informative truth talk on the radio. We've got a variety of different hosts who have a variety of different viewpoints. You may not agree with all of them, but at least you can, if you listen to RBN for like all day on a weekday and all weekend, you're going to get a variety of stuff. And if this is gone, then you're going to stuck with the tranny lover, Sean Hannity, right? Who's probably going out with drinks with Bruce Jenner right now as we speak, talking about conservative free market capitalism is the way to go, and it's okay if you're a tranny, you can be a conservative too. That's what you're stuck with when RBN's gone, people, because Rush is gone. Rush Limbaugh's gone, and you just got these total cucks. So you have to give to this station so that we can get truth out there. Right, Mark?
That's it. That's exactly where it is, and I'll put in a plug right now for Don Wassel's Freedom Times, which you can find in his new website, AmericanFreedomNews.us, AmericanFreedomNews.us. You can buy a subscription to the print Freedom Times there, and also continue to support our longtime friends of the American Free Press as well, with Dave Gaharry and Chris Petherick and all of those guys. Let's make sure that both of those print journals, Wassel's Freedom Times and the American Free Press, manage to continue the struggle as they have for a long, long time. And clearly, in terms of airwaves, RBN is so critical in this entire situation that we now find ourselves confronted with.
And so I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's finish up these articles. After this break coming up, we'll try to finish up, and we'll take a few calls. Keep it on topic. I know you guys don't get to talk to Mark a lot. 1-800, no, here, 5, forget that. You guys are going to pay for these calls. 512-248-8252. And I'm going to ask you how much you've given or how much you're going to give. It's going to cost you to talk to Mark. So, but we're going to cover these articles real quick during this segment and a little bit into the next segment.
If you're confessing sins, my rate is $10 per minute.
Wow, Mark, I just heard the fires. I just felt the hellfire like lick at the bottom of my feet as you said that. You're reformed theologian, Mark, reformed.
Well, the thinking of the great Johann Tetzel, the Catholic indulgence seller during the Protestant Reformation, in his famous saying, another coin in the coffer, you know, in the coffer dings another soul from Purgatory Springs.
Wow. Sure glad Luther and the crew did what they did back in the day, my guy.
Yes.
That's pretty bad stuff, yeah. Well, hey, let's get to these articles real quick. So the Christianity Today article, I'm comparing that with the Hill article. Now, the Hill article was pretty doom and gloom. Oh, we left our military equipment. Christians are going to be slaughtered. They're underground. They're turning their phones off. I mean, maybe that could be the case with some Christians who are like really liberal. But from this Christianity Today article, the title of this is Dari TV Host, Afghanistan Will Now See Pure Christianity. That's a very interesting title, and as you read through the article, it sort of paints a little bit of a better picture. Pure Christianity, meaning, I guess, the Christians that do stay in Afghanistan and persevere are going to be salt of the earth Christians, literally salt and light. And that's one thing the article does mention, is that they could be salt and light to the Taliban. But also, and this is my question to you that we talked about over the break, a true Christian, I mean, would be against feminism and homosexuality and be hardcore on that stuff. And they wouldn't want their females to go out and, you know, get careers and have jobs. A true Christian. I mean, Christians from back in the old school. I'm not saying you got to, if you're a female, you got to stay home and not work to be a Christian. What I'm saying is that that's a very Western thing. It's a very modern thing. And so if Christians worked with the Taliban on these social issues, maybe there could be a way for them to get along. Let me kick it to you on that.
I think you're really on to something there. And, of course, people need to understand something that Dr. Kevin Barrett and I were both observing recently, and that is that the United States government was flying the LGBTQ rainbow flag at the American Embassy flagpole. Now, what is that saying about the values of the United States in regard to what it was doing in Afghanistan, or what it claimed it was doing in Afghanistan? I think to the extent that Afghan Christians are real Christians who do not support LGBTQ perversion, who are not Christian Zionists, who don't support radical feminism in the execution-style deaths of the unborn, that it is very possible that there could be a real sense of cooperation on the part of the real Christian community with the Taliban, at least in terms of the Taliban having a hands-off attitude toward them and letting these people go their own way. We come back from the break, Russia could play a major role in this when they recognize the new regime in a ceremony on September 11th.
Let's get back into it. Appreciate it. On the other side.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're back to the show in plain sight. Jeremy from Kentucky with Pastor Mark Dankoff breaking down what's going on in Afghanistan with Christianity. And we're doing a pledge drive to raise $2,000 between now and Friday for Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Chris, for your monthly pledge donation of $20. If everybody listening to our voice did that, gave $20, can you imagine? We could hit that very easily by Friday. And so, Mark, we were just talking about how if Christians, the hardcore salt of the earth Christians, pure Christianity, as this Christian Today article is talking about, if they would, you know, adhere to the traditions of females staying home and raising their children and having families, going against this LGBTQ nonsense, this boy lover faggotry, If these true Christians in Afghanistan would maintain the type of moral, society that our Christian forefathers did 100 years ago, I think they would get along very well with the Taliban, as long as the Christians were not asked to worship the false moon god Allah. I would go to death over that. I would lose my head. I'm not worshiping your false moon god.
Yes,
but I will work with you on, you know, keeping faggots and feminists out of our society. As a Christian, I can totally see working with the Taliban on that level. So anyway, you had a little more to say to this, and you were going to bring some Russia into this.
I had read somewhere this week. It may have been an RT. I'm not sure. It may have been in the Russian V Kontakte, but I understand there is some sort of a ceremony on the 11th of September that will involve representatives of other world governments that will be in Afghanistan. Their representatives will be their diplomatic representatives to formally recognize the Taliban regime. And apparently that's going to include representatives of the Russian and Chinese governments. Now, in the case of the Russian government, this is particularly significant because Vladimir Putin has made it clear on many occasions that he perceives himself and perceives his government as one that is committed to the protection of Christians around the world, and Putin has framed his own intervention in Syria on that basis. And as you have had a resurrection of Russian Orthodox culture, pre-communist Russian Orthodox culture in Putin's Russia, it may well be, and I would be surprised if this wasn't the case, It may well be that the Russian diplomatic representative, which may be Lavrov, I'm not sure in this case, but whoever that representative is going to be in Afghanistan on the 11th of September, I believe that that will be raised in private conversations between the Russian government in the new Afghan Taliban government in regard to the state of the situation as it relates to these Christians in that country. That would be entirely consistent with what Putin has done in Syria. And Putin, of course, has had a wide open attitude toward allowing Westerners who have felt increasingly persecuted for their Christian faith in the wave of political correctness and the wave of international faggotry that has taken over so much of the United States and Western Europe. Many of these people have immigrated to Russia and have actually done quite well and have done so with the blessing of the Putin regime. So I would suspect that this relationship between Vladimir Putin's government and that of the Taliban might be a very key factor in at least ensuring that the Taliban at least tacitly agrees with a very powerful world government, in this case Russia, that they're going to do nothing on a massive basis that will undermine the fact that they need a positive relationship with the Russian government. And if they began the wholesale pogroms against Afghan Christians, that would create a very difficult situation for them with the Putin government, and would create a very difficult situation for them internationally. I think they're smart enough to understand is not in their interest. So we'll see what happens. But in this situation, historically, we know that the Christian church, the true confessing church of Christ, always flourishes best when it is operating in the midst of great persecution of the early days of Christianity. Prove that in terms of the flourishing of the early Christian church amidst the persecutions of the ancient Roman Empire. Certainly, God was at work in protecting his people in the Old Testament during the Babylonian exile. I think the relationship that the prophet Daniel had with Nebuchadnezzar is a primary example of that. And certainly when we look at the fact that Christianity has certainly done quite well both above ground and underground in Iran since the end of the Pahlavi regime, as long as the Christians in question were not involved in doubling as agents of Israel because of their own Christian Zionism, as long as they avoid that pitfall, I think their situation in Iran has been reasonably good. I'd ask people to look at the representation that the Islamic Republic has granted to religious minority groups in the Iranian parliament or majlis, and that includes both Armenian Christian and Jewish representation in their own parliament. A lot of interesting things online about the Vank Cathedral in Isfahan and the ongoing worship of the Christian community there. As well as the Armenian Christians of both Tehran and the northwestern part of that country every year at this festival of St. Thaddeus at the old St. Stefano's Church. I attended that one in 1974. That was 47 years ago. That has continued unimpeded in the transition from the Pahlavi era to the era of the Islamic Republic. So I think that we're going to discover that talking again about this whole issue of Hazaras and Pashtun and Tajiks and so forth, that Putin, I am convinced, will have his representative doing a lot of things behind the scenes to gain some sort of assurance from the Afghan government that these people. Should be protected, and that properly understood, the Taliban can even see these people potentially as legitimate citizens of the country, loyal to a new government that respects their freedom, that leaves them alone in terms of persecution. And again, I think you're onto something here, Jeremy, and that is that the overlap between the Taliban's understanding of cultural Marxism and how nefarious it is, that's something that real Christians, both in Afghanistan and elsewhere, can fully sign on to. So this is going to be something to watch. I know that neoconservatives in this country, Zionists in this country, feminists and LGBTQ types and neoliberal interventionists are committed to painting the Taliban in the worst possible light as a means of justifying some absurd future military intervention in that country. That's something we've got to resist tooth and nail.
Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of great stuff here. First of all, it is absolutely true. You mentioned that Christianity flourishes under persecution. And when it's not under persecution, when Christianity is enjoying, let's say, the 20th century America and 21st century, then you start getting Christian Zionism and tranny pastors. It really does bring some subversion out. But that's on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you mentioned how pro-Christian Putin would, and the Taliban would want to have a good relation with Russia. So pro-Christian Putin would be like, okay, good relation with us means you protect our Christians down there. Isn't that fascinating that that's how the relationship with Russia and the Taliban would play out? Whereas with the United States, it was like chase the Taliban into the mountains and then promise all of the degenerates in Afghanistan, well, you can have all the little boys and feminism you want. Just take this money from us and let us install our government there. Isn't that interesting? The United States, supposedly a Christian nation, that's how they dealt with it, with the Afghanistan, whereas Russia, we would think, would use their leverage to protect Christians. So that's interesting observation there. And then a question to you. You brought Iran into this. Could we see a really strong Russia-Taliban-Iranian alliance that would be friendly to Christians and that would be a bulwark against global homo in the West?
Well, that would certainly be a wonderful thing if that were to transpire, and I think it is precisely the fear of that that is going to cause mainstream media and global homo generally, as it's represented both with neoconservatives as well as neoliberal interventionists in this country. They're going to do everything possible to ensure that that doesn't happen. But when you look at arguably a post-Christian West, both with what is happening with LGBTQ and abortion and radical feminism and all of these other things in Western Europe. And then you look at what has happened in the United States and Canada, the advances the global homo movement has made in South America, the situation presently in Australia. And I think what really has the global homo Zio community worried is that if there should be a political alliance between the Taliban and Iran and Russia that is rooted in mutual interest, both in terms of national security as well as in affirmation of certain cultural values, that if this sort of thing catches on in a wider part of the globe in conjunction with this wider anti-vax movement that has been picking up steam, then the New World Order is going to find itself really fighting to maintain what it thought it had in sinking its claws into all the nations of the earth. It may not prove to be as easy for them as they thought it was going to be, especially, of course, when you watch the way in which Biden is clearly floundering in the United States in terms of popularity and his allies in the media and in the deep state are doing everything they can, as we observe it, to reverse.
Oh, hey, Mark, you broke up. You're breaking up. We lost the last. Hey, Hank.
I'm here. Was I breaking up? Am I coming in? Okay. Well, I was just saying that in terms of this whole this whole situation with Biden and the culturally Marxist left in this country, that who knows, but that the absolute disgust of the average American with the botching of this evacuation from Afghanistan, and when you see at least four major college football games this past weekend, where the president of the United States was subjected to obscene chanting from thousands of young people at games around the country, including Alabama's game and Texas A&M's game. You know, you really, it's going to be fascinating to watch this because if Globo Homo is has lost control of Afghanistan, and clearly Putin has checked its advance in Syria, if the Russians and the Iranians and the Taliban regime come to some mutual understandings that actually strengthens the position of all three of those governments, this could become part of a larger primer for how to oppose Globo Homo elsewhere. So it's this might be a bigger development than we imagine.
Well, I'm back. I heard everything you said. I lost connection on my laptop. I immediately switched to my phone. We do have a caller. Let's take this caller. She's a great caller, Pat from Fort Worth. Pat, before your question, I want to know, how are you contributing to RBN, or have you contributed?
I've been contributing, but I'm thinking about switching to somebody else.
Well, why is that?
But thank you for letting me on. Maybe, you know, I'm not very popular in my view, but maybe somewhere my point of view will be exonerated. That's all I know to say. But
Pat, we're not going to take another call. You've got the rest of the show. Tell us why you're thinking about switching, and why your point of view is not popular. You've got a question for Pastor Dankoff.
Well, if I have to only ask a question and I can't disagree, I guess I don't, because my point would be that we don't have to worry about what Russia thinks or what Taliban thinks. I mean, you need to know that this is a new religion, and they have actually put out their Mahdi. They've been looking for the 42nd Mahdi, the Islamist, and they got him out this week. I'm sending it all to everybody to see what you're fighting with. And he is very well organized. I mean, they have got books where they're training the kids in school. I mean, don't tell me that the homosexuals worry about them. They don't. They don't worry about them, because they say one thing and do another, because they can get by with it. You know, it's, they don't even die and go to hell. You can pray them out of hell. Well, you know, that kind of religion is a very popular sounding religion, and it's something to worry about. So I say that, I just quote the scripture that says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't stand around and say, well, I think it's going to go over. I mean, the enemies of our enemies are, you know, this enemy. You know how they say that about enemies. Because, you know, if we let it go, we as Christians have power over the devil. And if we just say, well, you know, he's not bothering me, let's let him mess with those people over there, God will take over. When God takes over, you don't know what might happen to this world. I believe in planet X out there. I believe that God could send that thing right by us and turn this tear up the whole world in 1 hour, like the Bible talks about.
Well, first of all, Miss Pat, your point of view is always welcome, even if you disagree with us. You call in and disagree anytime you want. And I want to let you know that this is a pro-Christian broadcast tonight. We're worried about Christians in Afghanistan, and we're hoping that Christians will be able to work with and survive under the Taliban, but not compromise. Don't worship the false god. And we're also hoping that Russia, Well, real quick, we're also hoping that Russia maybe will protect the Christians in Afghanistan if they make an alliance with the Taliban. I don't care about the Taliban or the Russians. I'm pro-American. I'm pro-Christian first, and I'm pro-American second. And we're just hoping that these Christians are going to be okay over there and that they're going to be able to be salt and light. Let's kick it to Pastor Dankoff, Pat, and then we'll let you talk some more. Pastor Dankoff, what do you have?
Well, I can't say it any better than you did, Jeremy, and I'm glad Pat called in this evening. It's been a good conversation. And I would basically affirm her point of view that basically, in the book of Ephesians, of course, talks about this, and she quoted it, we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. No question about that. We need to avail ourselves of the full armor of God, and this is where Paul says some things about that in Ephesians chapter 6. And clearly, I think all of us are in agreement tonight that the present scene globally, politically, economically, militarily, and in terms of the development of a domestic global surveillance state and a global surveillance state and a global medical COVID-19 police state, all of these are signs of the times, I believe, in terms of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. I think it dovetails with what Paul does tell us about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, definitely dovetails with what we learned about the Antichrist in terms of the apocalypse with St. John in Revelation 13, for example. We are definitely, I think, living in the final times of history. Only God knows how long this goes before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We certainly are not advocates of Islam is a salvific religion. We certainly stand four square on the traditional reformational Christian understanding, which I think goes all the way back to Christ himself and the apostles, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But having said that, we get back to the realities of living presently in this world and presently dealing with world governments that the Apostle Paul does warn us have satanic powers and principalities operating through them and within them, which is just as much true of the American government, unfortunately, in today's world, as it is of any other government on the face of the earth. And I think the point of the Christianity Today interview with this guy from Dari Television, and certainly the perspective that Jeremy has and that I have, is that in regard to protecting the Christians of Afghanistan, those who do believe in the triune God, those who do affirm the divinity of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth and the substitutionary atonement of our Lord for forgiveness of sin and eternal life, who believe in the resurrection of the dead, who affirm that Jesus Christ did arise from the dead and that he will come again, we simply are attempting to grapple with what it's going to mean for these Afghan Christians who find themselves tonight in a very precarious position, as we have seen the withdrawal of the military forces of a post-Christian, anti-Christian in many respects, United States government withdrawal from Afghanistan. We shouldn't, and I would argue, should never have been in there to begin with. That's an argument I've been making for 20 years. But in the fact that that mistake was made and that we are now dealing with this botched withdrawal and all of the ramifications of what began with Bush's invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, we simply ask tonight for these Afghan Christians, and when you start talking about the Hazara, when you start talking about the Tajik and the Pashtuns, these three groups of people in particular, where there are Christian believers, what happens to them as they attempt to? That's all we're saying here. I think certainly, you know, it's understood that that the Christian can have no approval of any form of Islam in terms of its denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ or its understanding of salvation outside of Christ. That's that's not where Jeremy or I are coming from at all.
I'm not actually running them down. You know what it is? We are suffering from when Sarah first didn't believe God, and I'm counting on them getting saved and coming on in, because God is actually showing himself to them in visions and all. And the women, they, if you tell them about love, it's totally they can't even conceive of the word love. The way the men treat the women there, the women come to the Lord faster. And you know what? They influence kids. And I do believe that we were there influencing kids. I've told this somewhere, I don't know where, that the truth used to come out in the middle of the night on C-SPAN. And I'm a night owl, really. Our country, the military was calling on us to donate things, and they would actually drop them big containers of toys and candy and all kind of stuff, and they patrol the villages two by two, and when the kids come out to play, and they'd teach them English, and they'd give them candy and all that kind of stuff. When they came out to play, they would know that the Taliban wasn't there. When they didn't come out to play, they knew the Taliban was in that village. So I don't think the people love the Taliban. I mean, that's what's happened. We go over and we're going to rescue some people, and then we just leave, and then the people are left. And they're trying to run away.
We're at the end of the show. We're at the end of the show, Miss Pat. We appreciate your call. And you call in anytime. And we'll be back tomorrow night with William and Jeremy on In Plain Sight. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. It was a great show.
Thank you, Robin.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.